Dear Heavenly Gracious God, as we come before your holy presence, we ask your forgiveness for each and every known sin that's in our lives, be it words, thoughts, or deeds. We thank you for what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take it and make it real. Make it real unto the listeners. Continue to make it real for my life. We ask, oh God, your continued protective hand on the land of Israel, as you promised in your word. We ask that the individuals who are held as hostages be set free. May there be peace established with you on behalf of all who are in need of it in their life through Christ. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio Program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for joining. So what is God going to do to save Israel? Who will God use to save Israel? You know, God had been preparing for this. You said, Gary, are we talking about going on in the Middle East? Yeah, we're talking about that too. Or did you forget we're at the beginning of the book of Esther? And remember, we saw where in the palace of individuals who don't know the God of the scriptures, maybe that's where you are today in your country, or maybe in your province, your village, your state, your county, your neighborhood, or maybe your home or in your life. But in the book of Esther, at the palace, remember there was a orgy going on that involved intoxicated leaders, including the king. I remember thousands of individuals attended the banquet. They were leaders as well. I remember the king's queen at the time, Vashti, refused to obey him. You know, he wanted to show her off. He said, what does that have to do with everything? God was moving. And because of these events, God moved a person right into the palace, right next to the throne, that's going to be instrumental by which God saves his people. Remember how he's going to do it? By providence. And you got to remember, maybe that's you in your own life, this king isn't interested in God's will. How about the person in your life? How about your leader, whatever title they hold out there in the political world, educational world, criminology world, sociology world, medical world, education world? You name the world system. Is your leader interested in God's will? Are you? But guess what's going to happen? God is going to overrule this king. Remember now, over in Romans chapter 13, remember all scripture is not to us, but you can apply it to your life. It's applicable. Read the total book, the total chapter. When you look at Romans 13, remember the position is ordained of God, not the person. But God is going to overrule this king. And you're going to see how God is in the shadows keeping watch over his own. He's doing it for you. And he's doing it for me today, believer of the household of faith. You do know that, don't you? And so when Mordecai, remember when he learns all that Haman had done, remember who Haman was? You know, somebody that wanted to exterminate the total Jewish community. Why was that? Because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him after he was made number two after the king. Well, maybe there's somebody in your life that's coming to your heart and mind that you're taking a stand on. You're not bowing at the knees because you know it's right in Christ, not something you're doing or they're doing. But remember Mordecai, he cries out loud. He puts on sackcloth and ashes like a mourner in grief. He realized this law is accurate and actionable. He believes it and knows it cannot be changed. Remember how those men, it could be applicable to you too, ladies, but we're talking about those men during that time, all intoxicated. You know, they came up with a law that even the king could not undo. That's how Queen Vashti no longer became queen. All of it was for a purpose, leading to what we're talking about today. But God makes a decree today that the world doesn't believe. The God of the scripture says, all have sinned. You know, you too. And come short of righteousness. And you can see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. I know you think you got it going on. Excuse me, but understand, you can go 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds without thinking wrong, saying wrong, doing wrong, but you're not going to make it that last second. You know why? You're not perfect. The only one who can is Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going in and out of these different weathers. But we've come short of the glory of God, and we don't meet God's standard. I know there are some of you out there behind the pulpit in the pews think you do, and those who are not of faith, we don't meet God's standard. Even that thief on the cross dying next to our Lord Jesus Christ said to the other thief, we indeed justly, over in Luke chapter 23, verse 41. He said, this man dying next to us, this wasn't for him. He's dying in another's place, but we indeed die justly. You see, you and I deserve death because we belong to the human race in which it said, in Adam all die. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. And death is passed upon all men and women because all have sinned. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed for men and women to die once, but after this, the judgment. Think about that. I know there's somebody, excuse me, listening in, that swear up and down they know somebody that didn't die, humanly speaking. Okay. You're going to die. God said it. Prove him wrong. But the word again letting us know that the soul that sins, it shall die. That decree comes from God. Take it up with God. Don't throw your darts at me. Well, the person delivering a message, there are a lot of individuals today think that law has been changed. They believe that somehow God has become, you know, a soft God and he won't go through with the judgment. You know, running around telling him, doesn't he love everybody? Yes, he does. He's not going to ever save you by his love. You say, what? That's right. Where in the Word of God does God save you by his love? Go ahead. I'm waiting. Matter of fact, I think it's time for me to drink that water. He saved you by grace. And you can see that over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I know you're going to write it down. The decree has never been changed. The law can't be overruled, but it can be satisfied another way. Think about it. As Haman's wicked decree, ungodly decree, goes throughout the kingdom, all the Jews mourned. They fasted and sat in sackcloth and ashes. Do you notice? Maybe in your own life. No prayer. Do you notice there's no prayer? How about with you? Any prayer going on with you or you or you? Or you just running around telling everybody but God? And here you got Esther, remember? Queen Esther now. Isolated in the palace. She didn't realize the magnitude of the decree and how it would affect her or her people. She didn't understand Mordecai's reaction, and so what she did, she sent him some, nice clothing to, you know, to replace his sackcloth. But when he got them, he sent them back. You know, there's no new clothes that's going to change the king's edict. And so when her gift went back to her, Esther knew it was something serious. So she wanted some answers. And staff, she got her questions to Mordecai. And she wanted to know. She wanted him to explain, why are you wearing sackcloth? And so what Esther's assistants found out, they found, first of all, that Mordecai was in the king's gate, and he explained all that had happened and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to deposit in the royal bank to finance the killing of the Jews. And so Mordecai, he then, you know, presented a plan that was going to be risky to be given to Esther. And what he told her was that she should go to the king and plead for her people, you know, the Jewish nation. Any believer of the household of faith, are you going to the God of the scriptures pleading for Israel? Are you going to the God of the scriptures pleading for whatever's going on in your country with your leaders? And here in the United States, with our leaders, irrespective of who they are, on behalf of the people. Here you got Mordecai. He was making a large request, and he knew it. And Esther knew it, too, because no one dared to do what he proposed, you know, like enter the king's presence without an invitation, because if you did, you could be put to death on the spot. And the only exception would be if Esther entered the inner court at that time, and he held out the golden scepter to her. So Esther's letting Mordecai know that she hadn't seen the king in about 30 days, and she didn't know what his response to her would be. But then Mordecai put it on the line. What did he say? Don't you want to know what he said to Esther, the queen? Remember how she became queen? He let it be known to you and you and you and you for such a time as now as it was then. He said, hey, don't think you're secure just because you're queen in the palace. This decree touches you. Remember, there was another queen before you, and a decree was made to put her aside. He let her know, take a warning from that, because this decree is that all Jews are to be killed, and you'll be killed too. Let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you? Believer of the household of faith, has God, through his Holy Spirit, presented your heart and mind? There's an issue for you to stand up and speak out on, because the Holy Spirit of God is wanting you to say what God would have you to say to glorify him through Christ. Are you obeying him, or are you fearful? Who are you afraid of? Who woke you up this morning? You know you didn't. Oh, you put that power in some man's hand, didn't you? Yeah, you did. Who woke you up this morning? Who allowed you to sleep at night? Who's blessed you with whatever you have, unless you schemed for it, stole for it, used people, misused people, abused people for it? But you know what happened with Mordecai? Now he's showing himself to be a man of faith. You know what he offered? He said, but if you stay silent, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jewish community from someplace else. But you and your family is going to be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. This is what he's letting Esther know about. Let me ask you. Wherever you are and wherever God has placed you, were you placed there for such a time as whatever's going on in your neighborhood, in your city, your village, your province, your state, your country, for such a time as now? You know, I remember, you know, I'm at to surrender. Boy, I had to surrender for 2020. to begin to talk personal. But I remember when I was assigned to an executive protection or dignitary position, protection position, I asked my pastor, why me? And I was asking in sincerity. He said two things. You're there to tell them about Christ, Jesus Christ. And second, have you ever thought that maybe you're the first person that's ever been around them from our community? And whatever and however you act, say, do, will allow them to have a better knowledge of our community. Before I left the assignment after 3 years, I gave the person a book. And it was called The Lonely Wine of the Top Dog. It was about an individual who walked on people to get to the top, whatever the top is in your life, in your field of endeavor. And they didn't care who they walked on. And so when it came time for them to go back down, there was no one there to help lift them up. Is that you, leader, believer of the household of faith? For such a time as now, God has placed you alongside that person to not say what you want to say, but what God would have you say. Have you surrendered to him so that you're allowing the Holy Spirit of God to say what God would have you say for such a time as now? Allowing God through his Holy Spirit to be the convictor of that person or the confirmer of that person, not you or you or you or you, and leaving consequences to God. Mordecai's conclusion, it makes you think, what else did Mordecai have in mind? Would help come from the north or the east? Because this king is a global ruler, a dictator, not just another person on earth to deliver the Jews. Mordecai was detecting, guess who? The hand of God moved. My brother, the household of faith, before I continue, do you detect the hand of God moving in your life? Because Esther had been put in the palace for a purpose. Do you recognize that you're here on earth for a purpose? Do you recognize that God woke you up today for a purpose? Do you recognize he allowed you to see a brand new day? He's blessed you. Can you see? There's somebody can't see today. Can you hear? Can you talk? Can you walk? Do you have a position? Do you have a job? Do you have a place over your head? Do you have food? You have the gospel in you, don't you? You know, the death, burial, and resurrection. Are you carrying out the Great Commission? Esther had been put in the palace for a purpose. She wasn't put there just to look good. Mordecai, let it be known, if you don't speak up, deliverance is going to come from somewhere else. Where? Where? Did you read the story in Esther? The people who were not Jewish didn't care. The only other place is from above. That's the closest thing to a reference to God that there is in the book of Esther. So what's Esther going to do? Esther going to do? Well, guess what? You already knew. Next time, we're going to see what Esther does for the Jewish nation, her people.
Death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of dark and sky. He comes in glory to reveal.